And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11 o'clock on the radio program, but we are here till noon taking your e-cycling. Lots of folks still coming in, and we appreciate that. Drop off your old laptops, your cell phones, your printers, and get them responsibly e-cycled so you do not have to have it end up in the landfill. Do your part, you know, to save the planet, yeah. Whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. But we appreciate you guys doing that, and Environmental Office Solutions is here as well to collect this equipment. And make sure that your data is also wiped as well. So That's all important for you guys. Come on down, 29 Bissell Street, right here in East Hartford. Now, Dennis, we had a caller before talking about these really weird persistent
devices in Windows settings. I found an article on Tom's Hardware about how to deal with that.
Yep.
We're going to post that to the website and to Facebook.
Yep.
I just wanted to mention that there's some of the solutions in the article are things that he already tried. The person who called. But there's more to it and more possibilities later in the article. So scroll down.
Yeah.
Don't get annoyed. I've already done that. No.
Right.
Scroll down. there's more stuff you can do.
And the thing is it shouldn't take an arm and a leg to take care of this, but it's a lot of lists of stuff you have to do here, right?
Yeah.
All these procedures you gotta go through.
And some of this involves getting into the registry. I mean it can get a little dicey, but apparently it's a thing.
It's a thing. Yeah, you wonder what's going on with IT. It's a thing. So we also had a caller during the news break that didn't want to come on air, wanted to kind of stay anonymous. They're dealing with some sort of court case where they had recorded some sort of message on their cell phone.
Right.
And they want to make sure it's presented in court. However, somebody, this is all what we're understanding, somebody got a hold of the phone and was able to delete the phone or lock out the person of the phone so they don't have any way to get at the recording, they think, on the phone itself, and they're looking for some advice. The only thing I can think of is you're going to deal with your carrier. The cell phone carrier might have backed up that recording into the cloud.
Yes.
And you'd be able to log in to that.
They might be able to recover that, especially if it was a voicemail. They may be able to recover that.
Right. So that's the only thought I have. As far as if they wiped that phone, you probably don't have a way to get at it.
Maybe not. You might have to go to a
data recovery company,
yeah.
So that would be Kroll OnTrack. We recommend those guys out of New York if they could do data recovery. But those are the only two options we have for you. I wish you the best with that. Hope that helps. And another caller came in. I don't know if you guys are chicken to be online with us today. You're welcome to join us, 860-522-9842. We're warm and fuzzy. I don't give you any hard time. But Maureen from Middletown, she's got a Dropcam Pro, and it's discontinued. Should she keep or e-cycle it? Now, if it works,
if it's a camera and it's functional, just keep it.
Yeah. If it doesn't work, e-cycle it. Those are the simple answers.
Right.
We run, like Dennis was talking about his laptop. He ran that thing forever. You'll run it as long as you can, but if you're not using it and it's just sitting in your basement, then e-cycling it makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Because it can be upcycled, e-cycled, recycled, and that's important. So come on down. Feel free to drop off your e-cycling here. East Hartford, Bissell Street, 29 Bissell Street to be exact. Tab Computer Systems. Dennis and I are sitting outside of our corporate world headquarters. A little colder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Watching you guys come down the street and drop off your e-cycling here with Environmental Office Solutions. Printers, laptops, old cell phones. We'll take them and responsibly e-cycle them. So feel free to do that, please. 860-522-298-WTIC is the number. We're not in our normal environment, so all those little
everything
is different.
We apologize, you guys. We're kind of flummoxed
here.
We're
doing our best.
This is a circus.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy down here. As we wait for your calls, this is something I kind of find funny. You probably heard in the news, Microsoft is going to turn on Three Mile Island.
Yeah.
Remember Three Mile Island?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yes. They're going to turn on Three Mile Island. So the irony of it is that we're talking about putting another data center here next to Millstone and how that's going to probably increase our rates, according to the energy expert we had on.
Right.
Now you juxtapose that with Microsoft saying, well, Three Mile Island's not really turned on. Let's go power that sucker up so we can put a data center over there. What that would actually do is bring on more juice, right, for the area, and that could actually reduce rates.
Could.
Right?
It could.
I mean, I'm not an expert. That's why we had the expert on.
It could.
And I found that kind of interesting. And now this article that I have here from our folks over across the pond at the Register, data centers bleed watts and cash, all because they're afraid to flip the switch. Basically, data center power consumption has become a major concern in recent years. And so what's happening is when they build the data centers, they are by default setting the machines to 100% power utilization and power levels rather than setting them to be variable,
right,
so that they don't crank and use all that energy when they don't need to.
Correct.
So I got a buddy who works at Pratt, and they did this geared turbofan to deal with commercial airlines. So the geared turbofan can actually save a few percentages of fuel, right? And that saves millions and millions of dollars. Same thing would be right here with the data centers. If you actually set your data center to be able to gear back when you're not asking it to do any work, you'll save some energy. It seems logical.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is all for artificial intelligence, right? These data centers need this all for artificial intelligence. How ironic is it that they're afraid to set those settings because the machines are too stupid?
What?
They're afraid they're going to have issues with performance and latency. So you're telling me you want to power data centers with nuclear power, set the servers to crank at 100% utilization, even when they're not being used at all time, and all because you don't think the servers are smart enough
to manage their own power
consumption. That's where we are, guys. That's the lunacy of all this stuff. So we'll put this link up here for you to read yourself, but it's like you have this promise of AI you're hoping is going to save the planet, but then, of course, you have the reality of computers and ding-dongs like us and IT setting them up and setting them to just full power mode, right? We want to give it full power, Captain, because?
Because we don't want the support call when it doesn't work right.
Exactly. It's just you can't make it up. So you're going to use 50% more energy because you're not going to be smart enough to configure the smart servers. So it's nutty. We'll put this information out there for you. That's a big savings that could happen with the data centers if they just did that. Did you have anything else you wanted to bring up while we're waiting for calls?
Well, when it comes to data centers,
yes,
I've got a story also from the same source that you just used. Amazon, AWS, which is Amazon Web Services, is saying out loud probably what they don't want to have happen but is happening, is that a lot of customers are packing up their cloud instances and they're bringing stuff back on premises on their own hardware.
You don't say.
Imagine that. People have finally learned that the cloud isn't the answer to every
solution
computing issue.
Yeah. It's expensive.
It's expensive. We've even seen where there are services that you can pay third parties that will help you manage your cloud computing consumption in order to keep your bills as low as possible.
Right.
And, you know, if you have to go that far to use the cloud,
I know.
Why are you using the cloud?
It does make you ask that question. Yeah, there's whole consultancies, especially with Azure, where you would spin up servers and workstations, and you'd either turn on or turn off the systems as you're not using them, because Microsoft will happily charge you for every CPU minute you're using, every bit of RAM, every bit of storage. And the idea with managing it, right, is that if people aren't connected to it, why run it? Well, back in the old on-prem area, they work great, right? There's no issues there if people were connecting or not. But when it's sitting there in the Azure cloud, you actually manage it and manipulate it so that the resource isn't just running and available when you don't need it. And if you don't do that, it's literally like leaving, you know, the lights on at home when you're not home. Right?
Yeah.
That's
exactly
the idea. So Amazon, I did see that. Amazon is saying they're watching that. That's not the only folks that I've read stories about as far as people moving things off the cloud back on-prem. If you look at what happened with CDK, 15,000 dealerships ransomed all at the same time.
Right.
I would bet you a couple of them.
More than a couple, I'll bet.
I would think have said, wait a minute. Maybe if I put my own servers together, they wouldn't have attacked everybody at once, they would have to go after me specifically.
Right.
And it's a lot harder for the bad guys to attack 15 people specifically than it is to attack one big, juicy, cloudy target and nail 15,000 people at the same time. Now, if you're still using that cloud-based solution after you've been impacted by this, I don't know what to tell you. You know, the old story is, fool me once, shame on you.
Shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me.
Right. What are we doing, right? So if it happens again, do you get laid off or fired? I don't know what to tell you. I mean, are you surprised? So really, it's an interesting conundrum here, because when you look at the cloud, you're renting somebody else's data center access, right? Whether it's their servers. And I don't know about you, but the math typically on rentals is higher than owning.
Correct.
You're going to pay a premium. And you're going to say to yourself, well, Eric, they're going to make sure everything's secure. Okay, really? Did that happen? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Right? They're going to make sure. I mean, there was a data center in like Singapore recently that had a flood. I think it was part of Alibaba, I read.
Yes.
Their data center they had some sort of fire, some sort of lithium battery fire. They had all this water in the data center, and they brought big chunks of their services down.
Right.
Don't they have any kind of elasticity or distribution elsewhere to deal with that and keep it running?
Apparently not.
So you look at those types of things occurring, and you ask yourself, what are you paying for? Are you paying for not having the thing in your closet in your beautiful building? Is that really the big thing you're changing? Because your problems aren't any different. So we're going to step out for a quick break. Come on down to the big e-cycling, second annual e-cycling event here at Tab Computer Systems. We're broadcasting live. Sorry about the wind noise. 29 Bissell Street here in East Hartford, and we will responsibly recycle your electronic equipment, laptops, computers, cell phones, whatever it is. If you're a business, if you're a home user, you want to bring it down, no cost. The folks at Environmental Office Solutions will take it off your hands and keep it out of the landfill. So we're going to take a quick break. Rick and Raul, hang on. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here until 11 on the radio, but live till noon, taking your electronic equipment. And it turns out someone's asking if they can bring an electric fan or razor. If it's got a circuit board in it, I think they'll take it.
Yeah.
So come on down with even that. But it wasn't something we thought of.
No, but razor will have a circuit board in it. Definitely.
Sure. So feel free to bring it on by, and we're here till, like I said, till noon doing that. All right, on 29 Bissell Street, off right here in lovely East Hartford, Connecticut, at the world headquarters of Tab Computer Systems. So let's get to your calls. Who has been on the longest? We're going to go to Rick in Cheshire. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, guys. Sent my oldest off to college this year, and I suggested that we get a new laptop for her, and she was kind of thinking that she was going to use her existing one, which is newer, 15-inch laptop. But now she's thinking that it's, excuse me, a little bit too big and wants a smaller 13-inch. And I was just hoping that you might be able to steer me in the direction of maybe just some specs, target specs, you know, that I could make sure that I don't want to – obviously, you could buy a laptop that's $400 or $1,500. I don't want to, you know –
You don't want to spend too little, and you don't want to spend too much, right?
Right.
So, number one, always listen to the user. I know she's a kid, but in this case, ask, you know, if they want a smaller screen, they probably have a reason for it. So, there are some good 13 and 14-inch size laptops out there.
Yeah.
Elite Books and stuff like that are out there. So, definitely listen to her on that. As far as the spec itself, you know, an i5 or i7, whatever you can afford, it's going to give her a good 4 or 6 years more of service. 16 to 32 gigs of RAM, because again, depends on what her major is. If she's getting into design or graphics, she's going to want some more RAM. And then a 500 gig or 1 terabyte solid state drive are the minimum specs that we'd recommend.
Pretty much.
And then make sure it's a metal case, no plastic.
Oh, yeah. Aluminum chassis.
Is the key.
Always.
So if it's plastic painted to look like aluminum, that's not good. Right? You want that metal.
So at least 16 at least 16 and either 500 or
a terabyte SSD.
Yeah, either 500 or 1000 gigs. It's going to hopefully, I mean, my son has been out of UConn now for I think 4 or 5 years, and he still uses his old Envy that I got him. It still survives. It works well.
This HP Envy that I have?
Yeah.
I looked back. I bought this in 2018.
Yeah.
And it's
still doing fine.
It screams.
Yeah. So if you get the right tool for the job.
Is there a brand that you would stay away from?
Outside the brands we'd like you to consider. Consider HP. We like their Envy lines. Yeah. That's where I would start, period. But if you like Dell and you like Lenovo, those are other brands that even we offer to our customers. So, you know.
HP, everybody, we have a few different HPs at the house. So I'll stay in that family. And I appreciate the advice.
No, our pleasure, and hope she has a great year.
All right. Appreciate it. Have a great
day. Thank you, Rick. You too. Bye-bye. All right. That's anything you wanted to bring up before is there something you had to tell anybody about? No, we didn't.
No, we already covered that.
All right, sorry. Like I said, my brain's...
It is a circus here.
Yeah, let's go to Raul in Glastonbury. What's going on, Raul?
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning.
Love your show.
Thanks.
I'm a computer dinosaur, but I love listening to your show.
Thank you.
I just have a comment on that gentleman that was having issues with his icons on his desktop, and he tried to erase it from the system.
Was that like a prior show?
Come again?
Was that a prior show?
No, it was today's show. There was a gentleman that called. He had an icon on his desktop, and he had gone into his operating system and had deleted everything, and then
device manager.
He tried to reboot the computer, but the icon still kept showing up.
It wasn't an icon on his desktop. It was basically a old printer that kept showing up.
Right.
So that was the difference. He couldn't get rid of it.
We found what I call a shotgun article that goes over a lot of different ways to remove it.
Right.
Tom's Hardware, which is a pretty good site.
Yeah, but what are you asking about? What are you trying to help people with?
I was just curious. I'm a computer dinosaur, as I said. So, I thought that maybe just dragging everything into the garbage pail would solve his issue.
But he was already through all the easy solutions.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of had to resort to the article that I did find, because it has other stuff too that you can do.
But we appreciate you chiming in and helping out.
I love your show, and like I said, sorry for being a dinosaur.
Don't apologize.
Don't apologize for that.
We're happy. We need good dinosaurs. All right. Thanks, Ralph.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's go on to Dorothy in Litchfield next. What's happening, Dorothy?
Hi. Yeah, I just was able to get a new iPad, and I was wondering what would be the best security to put onto it.
The only Apple-based security that we typically recommend is ESET.
Yeah. Right?
It's free still, I think.
Let's find out what that is. Hang on.
ESET has been pretty popular, and again, Apple does a very good job with security in general, so there's not a whole lot you need.
Yeah, there is something called ESET Home on the App Store.
Yeah. So that's where we tell you to go.
Yep.
You can
post a link to it, but you can look for it in the App Store. It's spelled E, S is in Sam, E, T is in Tom.
Yep.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Very simple spelling.
Is that good for the iMac as well? I have an all-in-one iMac.
They have a good security product there. Yeah, we can post a link to that too, I think. Mm-hmm. Let's see where that is.
Do you like that better than the Webroot?
Yeah, we haven't recommended Webroot in a long time.
Yes.
Okay.
So, not really something that I'd recommend anymore, I don't think. All right.
What about on the Android cell, the same thing?
I think ESET comes out for Android as well.
Yeah, they're on Android.
Okay, great. I have one more question, and I'm sure you've had this one a lot. We've been bombarded with like robo emails.
Yeah.
Is there any way to stop them?
So you're getting spam emails? We can talk about how to block spam emails in general when we come back from the break if you'd like.
Okay, great.
I'll do that. All right, Dorothy?
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Love your show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being part of it.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock on the program, but we're here till noon here in East Hartford taking in your e-cycling hardware there, your laptops, your hard drives, your PCs, your whatever you have, your printers. We'll take them off your hands and responsibly e-cycle them here with the help of Environmental Office Solutions, both our client and our partner in this event, and we appreciate it very much. We'll be right back. And we are live here in front of the TAB Computer Systems World Headquarters. It's a busier street than you'd think on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
but come on down in Bissell Street and drop off your e-cycling here till noon. Workstations, laptops, old cell phones, ink cartridges, toner printers. Cartridges, you know, monitors, everything that you want to get rid of, whether you're a business or home use, it'll be responsibly recycled, and the data will be taken off of it for you, so you don't have to worry about it. So come on down. And it's our second annual. We're working with Environmental Office Solutions to do this, and happy to help you guys get rid of your junk before it ends up in a landfill. So four lines open for you guys. 860-522-9842 is the number. I remembered it again.
Yeah.
522-9842. No matter where you are on the planet, if you're listening, wherever you are, feel free to get online and ask us anything about your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns, and come on down with your stuff. So LinkedIn, I use LinkedIn a lot.
Yeah.
Started harvesting people's posts for AI training without asking for any kind of opt-in.
What?
Yeah, of course.
Oh.
You have to opt-in if you don't like it. Opt out.
Okay.
EU and a few others accepted. So basically, you're looking at, again, another company who's, when you join on, in this case, people pay for access to LinkedIn. You'd think your stuff's not being used for something else. But again, no matter where it is these days, you almost have to realize, even if you're paying for the service, they're still using what you're doing to train AI.
Right.
Microsoft's self-help network on Wednesday published a trust and safety update. Thanks, guys. Oh. They call it trust and safety.
Oh.
You don't trust us, so we'll update this
I don't
for you.
Trust them, do you?
Yeah. Their senior VP and general counsel, Blake Lawitt, revealed LinkedIn's use of the people's posts and other data for both training and using its generative AI features. Now, who knows how long they've been doing it, but
right.
they're updating this. Somebody got caught.
You know? Yeah, they got found out.
Yeah. And
maybe they were getting ahead of a news story or something.
Right. I mean, again, they use it to train their AI, but you've not been asked. And that's the thing. Whatever tool you're using, how do you know it's not being ingested? Right. If you're using Google Docs to write your latest novel, how do you know AI is already not taking it?
Uh-huh.
Right. And somebody puts in an idea to write a novel about something, and they're already taking your information.
Right.
I don't know that you can't know that right now. I don't even know if you could.
You can't. There's no way.
Microsoft, anything in the cloud, 365, all this kind of stuff. There's no explicit "we won't touch it" type of stuff. It's always, you always have to assume they are.
Yeah.
And so I don't even know where you can these days write anything or have any idea anymore that an IT company or some big cloud company is not going to just abscond with and train their AI with. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's a good thing. So if you're using LinkedIn, Microsoft is training its AI with your LinkedIn because it's a Microsoft company.
Microsoft owns LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe some of our listeners may not be aware of
that's
that.
That's true. Anything else you want to talk about there, Dennis?
Yeah, I want to talk about another AI issue.
Yeah.
And that's what people are doing with it, not what they're building it from.
Okay. All right. So this is a tool. As
right.
A tool now.
It's an application for AI.
All right.
T-Mobile is going to use ChatGPT for AI-powered tech customer support.
Okay.
You know, you call up T-Mobile because you got a problem with your account. You're going to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we think so.
You're going to be talking to a computer first.
Oh, geez.
Right. And what they're planning to do is to, you know, build, based on the kinds of calls they get, they're going to build this to handle, you know,
customer service issues.
Probably a majority of them.
Well, Clark Howard used to call it customer no service.
Right, that's right. Customer no service.
So this is
literally customer no person no service.
Right.
But it's meant to, it's meant to, you know, filter out some of the easy stuff so that the humans are dealing only with more difficult issues or things that are just more complex than the AI can directly handle.
I guess. So level one.
Yeah,
right?
I guess.
How many level one customer service reps are going to lose their job?
Probably a few.
A generative AI that's
probably a few, unfortunately.
And maybe it'll be better, maybe it'll be worse. Who knows?
And there's another phenomenon that when I was on vacation, I kind of caught on to.
Yeah.
I was out on my pilgrimage in Cape Cod every year and called up a restaurant to get their hours.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, how late are you open tonight? And I got a response, and the way the sound of it was just a little bit odd. And after I got off the phone, I'm thinking, I wonder if that wasn't a bot.
Right.
And then I found out a lot of restaurants are actually signing up with services to have AI answer their phones. And it will give you, you know, the typical menu that you sometimes hear, you know, an automated menu. And it'll initially take calls from somebody. And then it will route the calls to a person if it's necessary, or it'll just, you know, do what it did for me, which is tell me when the place closes.
That was all your question was.
That was what my question was.
Yeah.
So it there are services that restaurants can sign up for, and it seems to be a phenomenon with restaurants in particular.
And
that are doing this.
That's interesting, too, because when you try to make reservations, too, with restaurants, some of those tools that are out there to help you make those reservations are always wrong. Like, if you actually call and get a human at the restaurant, I went online and your, whatever it's called, table, whatever, you know, says you don't have any tables ready. But, oh, what are you talking about? We got, like, plenty of open tables. Come on down.
Yeah.
So sometimes that artificial intelligence is less than helpful.
Correct. And that's the downside. In my case, it probably was pretty easy for it to figure out what I was asking. And supply it, but you're right, you want a reservation for like 10 people.
Yeah, it's crazy around here. We get people.
Wow.
It's like a racetrack.
Whoa.
That was interesting.
Sorry, you guys didn't see that.
No, you didn't see that.
Whoa, that was pretty dangerous.
I think it was a jersey plate. 860-522-9842 is the number. Feel free to get on. We're going to be here till 11, but we are here till noon. Taking your electronic donations, right? You want to e-cycle your equipment, whether it be laptops, PCs, printers. They'll even take razors, I guess. If it's got an electric component in it, we'll take it. But feel free to come on down. Be responsibly recycled. Cell phones will be all wiped so that none of your data is going to get out. And you won't have to find it like on the interwebs. It'll be all properly taken care of. So come on down here until noon, 29 Bissell Street, East Hartford, Connecticut, our world headquarters, where we are broadcasting live Computer Talk with Tab. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. A couple lines open for you. 860-522-9842. Dennis and I are freezing our pasty white computer butts off out here in front of Tab Computer Systems World Headquarters.
Yep.
Taking your e-cycling in. So feel free to come on down if you have some e-cycling to get rid of. We're here till noon doing that with Environmental Office Solutions. We should thank 1082 WTIC for letting us be remote.
Yeah.
Letting us get out of the studio.
And Joey helping with the setup over here.
You can't believe how this thing works. But it works. It works wonderfully. Most of it's user error on my part. So feel free to come on down and drop off your laptop, your computers, your old LCD monitors, your cell phones, and get them responsibly e-cycled so they don't end up in the landfill. And, of course, you don't want your data on the interwebs. So let's go to Bob in Southington, though, to see what he's got going on. Hey, Bob, what can I do for you?
Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for hosting that event. It's important that we recycle that stuff and keep it out of the landfill. So,
our pleasure.
We had a Rheem hybrid hot water heater installed this week, and our plumber helped me install. It's supposed to save like 75% compared to an electric hot water heater.
Nice, 75%. Did you have to upgrade your service, though, like to a bigger
No, good. It's a drop-in, basically. And the state gives you a $650 rebate, and the IRS ends up giving you a 30% rebate off your taxes next year. So.
Wow, did you, like, make money on it, it sounds like?
I tried, but not quite.
All right. So but, what can we do?
My plumber tried to hook up the Wi-Fi. He set up the app in my phone and tried to hook up the Wi-Fi and couldn't get it to hook up.
Okay.
So we contacted the tech at Ream, and the tech there said the problem is our Wi-Fi and our 5G are combined and
yes.
need to be separated. Does that make sense to you?
It does. The combination makes it harder for the device to figure out which SSID to connect to, and you want to connect to the 2.4.
Yes. 2.4 is what the tech said, yeah?
I know.
Yes.
Yeah, it's for distance. You want to connect to something that can connect long, at a further distance.
Yeah, and devices like that typically aren't going to be, dual frequency anyway. They'll just do the 2.4 only.
Right. So if you can get it separated now, is this like from your carrier, your internet
provider?
Yeah,
right now I use Cox Cable for internet.
Okay.
And so I guess I would have to contact them and see what they can do for me.
Exactly. Give them a ring and see if they can separate the SSIDs for you. And everyone should do this because the combination ones are such a pain in the butt.
Yeah,
they cause
these
kind of problems all the time.
Ever since I had a dual frequency router, I've always had a different network name for the different frequencies.
Yeah, and different devices work differently. If you're close to the wireless access point, then you can use that 5G to get to high speed. But your little hot water heater there doesn't care how fast you connect.
No.
The only reason that would, for remote control, and it would tell me how much energy I'm using, that type of thing. That'd be nice, nice feature. But okay, I'll go ahead and contact the cable company and see what they can do for me.
Yeah, they should be able to do it for you. And you're supposed to save $75 a year?
75%.
75%?
Whoa!
Yeah.
Do you have any kids in that house?
Not anymore.
Anymore. No. So it would have come in handy when the kids were living with you.
You better believe it. Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you. So,
all right.
Good luck with it.
Thanks so much for your help. I'll go ahead and do that.
All right. Thanks
Take
for
care.
Calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. I can tell you right now, my kids, I've got a little rental thing that I did with my kids when they went up to UConn, and I bought this condo. And I found out that when they had their friends also rent it with them, the friends knew where the little knob is on the hot water heater.
Okay.
So that hot water could boil eggs.
Oh.
Thank you. Thank you for doing it, too.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You for coming by. The hot water heater was cranked up so high, though, you could boil eggs. And I was like, what is going on here? So, yeah, if you have these instant on hot water heaters, that's kind of neat. You know, save some money. And if the state's going to give you money. Let's go to Plainville next and Sherry and see what she's got cooking. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm sorry that I don't have my old computer ready to come up to East Hartford. I have called you guys in the past, and I bought nothing new. I have my same old antiquated stuff.
All right.
What I'm looking for is... recommendation, how do I get a tab computer like support when I buy my new computer and my new phone and I have 100 questions constantly and I will annoy somebody. Is there a recommended place to purchase from, or the 24-hour-a-day tech support, or I am just so afraid I'm going to come home and sit and look at a computer and not know what the heck to do with it, or one little tiny thing is going to happen and I'm going to be flustered and that'll be the end of it.
No, I hear you, and that's how I feel about golf. So I don't even know which club to use. So if I had somebody I could call, that'd be beautiful. So basically, I think what you want to do is consider like maybe your internet provider as a good source of people that you could talk to for help, right?
Yeah, because you're a customer of theirs, and
at
least theoretically, they're supposed to help.
Provider like Xfinity?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Oh my God! But it takes 20 minutes.
Okay,
to get
that's
them.
Fine. I'm not saying it's gonna be good. I'm just trying to give you some options.
right.
Secondarily, there's resources at libraries, believe it or not, that could also help you, too. Libraries
or senior centers.
Senior centers, too. We're not assuming you're a senior. We're just saying.
Well, no.
I think I admitted that.
Regardless of your age, call your senior center, too.
All right. Yeah, they do a great job helping folks with this type of stuff. But we can't just – I don't think there's a commercial entity out there. We tried to do it. We actually used to have our own end-user helpline that we did maybe a decade – maybe 2 decades now ago. And we couldn't – we couldn't find enough interest in it to have it continue, but
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I can buy the sale is over tomorrow at Costco. I can buy a laptop at Costco, and then what do I do?
Right. Yeah, I think you have to look at those two things. What do you have, Dennis?
I was thinking that Costco might have a phone customer service or tech support.
They might.
I'm serious.
Yeah, I'm sure they do something. I know they have it at Staples, so I mean, it's
Staples is good too.
Staples is and Best Buy, yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you buy the computer,
and then they'll talk to you forever, or.
Well, you know, they can come in. It'd be like, hey, Sherry. You'll actually play the song, oh, Sherry. When you come in the door there, because they're going to help you out.
So, you
can get to know your Staples people. They do have a desk.
Yeah.
I think the Geek Squad and Best Buy may not be doing that kind of stuff anymore.
I don't know.
But it's
hard. Oh, okay, yeah, because I knew Geek Squad, and then somebody came out to help set up something for my son years ago.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they care to spend a day.
Right.
Or they might and send you a bill. But
and there are some local CompuHuts that are still out there.
Yeah.
What's the name?
Like a CompuHut, like a local little hole-in-the-wall strip mall, local computer support guy might be around in your area you could try. You know, check the old – within your town you might have a – whatever, Southington Talks or a South Windsor Talks, you can put that request. Hey, who would you use for local IT support? You might get a lot of feedback from the local folks.
And one last option. If you buy directly from a manufacturer,
mm-hmm.
you might be able to buy a service and support plan along with the device.
Yeah.
It can get very expensive.
Right.
But one option if you were to buy a Mac would be AppleCare.
Yeah.
And they'll give you support. I have bought a Mac. I paid extra for the AppleCare, and I can call them at any time for anything about my Mac.
Yeah, that's true.
Literally, they'll even help me with third-party applications
mm-hmm. yeah.
that they don't write, they don't do anything with, but maybe they know something, and I'll call them once in a while.
One of the benefits of Mac and Apple.
Yeah.
Okay, so quick question then, too. I hear... Oh, you're always seeming like you're upset with the updates with Microsoft every time something comes up and everything goes kaflooey. But
do we feel that way? Do we always sound that way? I'm not surprised we don't always sound that way.
Well, it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens enough, at least in our setting, that we get confronted by it.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much every month there's going to be a computer somewhere within our customer base that's going to blow up because of an update.
But that wouldn't have you do Microsoft, you should do Apple.
You are much worse off not getting updates than you are doing them and then running the risk of an issue once in a while.
And we got to go, Sherry, but I appreciate your call.
Okay, thank you so much. I called at the last minute. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. I want to thank everybody for calling on this Saturday morning. I want to thank all you guys coming down with your e-cycling. We're here till noon, so come on down. 29 Bissell Street, East Hartford, Connecticut. We'll take your e-cycling. Thank Environmental Office Solutions. Thank Carolyn. Thank Mike. Thank you, Dennis. We'll see you next Saturday.
And remember, we want you to be geeks, too.